So I'm with Texas A&M in the Biological and Agricultural Engineering Department. I'm going to acknowledge my co-authors, who, as you see by their affiliations, are not here. So particularly with the fiber quality stuff, if you have the yarn quality textile processing, many of the detailed questions are probably better answered by Chris. So the motivation for this work, you know, and I'm talking about the effect of fiber cohesion on energy use and fiber quality. And by fiber cohesion, we're looking at the force required to separate fiber. And we encounter this in processing throughout the gin and the textile mill. So energy use, cotton gin energy use, it's a big source of a cost for a cotton gin. We're looking at about 25% of their variable cost. And large variations in that. Textile mills also use a lot of energy, mostly due to conditioning in the plant. But again, they've got an incentive to operate at maximum capacity when they're running. So with ginning energy, a number of studies have been done, much of this work at Stoneville. The gin stand uses approximately about 15% of the energy at a commercial gin. But this is often the rate-limiting step. So if we can gin faster, that's obviously a significant cost savings for our cotton gins. But historic data shows that you increase that ginning rate and you have negative effects on fiber quality. And certainly with the increasing competition from synthetic fibers, we don't want to increase short fiber, you know, reduce uniformity. Those are negative consequences that we want to avoid. And the big question is, we really don't know what the optimum rate is. The manufacturer says it's something, and that's usually a good starting point. But, you know, can you gin certain varieties faster and not cause significant damage? We don't know that. Now, we know certain properties do affect ginning energy: length, fineness, the attachment force of the fiber to seed. But there's more going on than that. That fiber seed attachment force has not really been well correlated with fiber quality parameters in past studies. And it's only a small part of the net ginning energy. Basically, if you calculate that energy and then scale it up to, you know, a large-scale gin, you know, it's less than 10%. So really, there's a lot more going on in the seed roll of the gin stand that we don't understand. You're applying a force to a given fiber with the saw. At some point, that fiber is going to break, you know, either at the seed, sometimes somewhere else. There's also forces from caused by resistance from other fibers. That's where we're getting at the cohesion aspect here. And so there's a number of things that affect it there. And now when we're talking about fiber cohesion, this does include fiber-to-fiber friction. But really, there's probably some resistance due to entanglement of the fibers. It's not strictly friction, as there is a crimp in cotton fibers and there's a twist. And it's also a bundle measurement. We're not simply taking two fibers. You can do this, and it's very tedious, but it's a bundle measurement, a collection of fibers. And there's several different ways this has been measured in the past. One is this little machine shown here that's called a rotor ring, which basically makes a ring of sliver as it tends to start to align the fibers and records the energy to do that. And there's been some published data on the energy that that testing machine takes. And actually, the USDA did get one of these, a new one. So we may do this in the future. There's also two ASTM standards, a static one and a dynamic one. And as you might guess, much with friction, the static cohesion test basically takes stationary fiber and starts to pull them apart, a bundle, and measures the energy. And both these are normalized for the linear density of the fiber. The dynamic test uses a testing instrument called a draftometer. It has a set of drafting rollers, which you'll find in a mill. You'll find much larger drafting rollers as they draft out fiber into a smaller cross-sectional bundle or a smaller sliver. So it's measuring the force on those drafting rollers. So the fiber is moving continuously. Therefore, it's a dynamic test. So our objectives are really, you know, some previous co-workers did a lot of studies on the variability in the fiber seed attachment force. Well, we're really just trying to first determine that variability in fiber cohesion between different genotypes of fiber grown in similar conditions, and then determine the relationship between fiber cohesion and the energy used throughout the process. As we've mentioned, you know, it affects the gin stand, both the lint cleaner in a cotton gin and our textile mill equipment. If we've discussed, as you draft the fiber out and card it, the cohesion will play a role in that, or it should. And also, we want to identify the effect of this fiber cohesion on fiber quality parameters, particularly short fiber content and fiber uniformity index. It's certainly not the only one that affects it, so it's really, you know, going to take some modeling and some teasing out of the different factors that affect fiber quality. So our experimental design, and I'll just go through this briefly. We had three replications, five different genotypes of cotton. We selected four of them that had similar fiber seed attachment force. That's all of them except the Fred Borland's variety, the Arkansas 9317. There's a range of length, strength, and fineness in those varieties. The Arkansas 9317, we had some extra space in the field and seed, and it's a bit different in that it has a lower attachment force. It's a semi-naked seed variety. It does have some intermediate values for length and fineness. So we have a range of other parameters expressed there. This was ginned in the USDA ARS microgen in Stoneville. There were two ginning rates used. All this cotton was grown in a single irrigated field under standard management conditions. We used standard sequence of both ginning and textile processing. Textile processing was done here in New Orleans at the USDA ARS SRRC lab. So we've measured fiber seed attachment force, our usual fiber quality, that's both HVI and APHIS, as well as sliver uniformity in the mill, and fiber cohesion measurements. In 2016, we actually spun it into yarn and have some yarn quality data, but we're not going to present that yet. Mostly it's not fully analyzed since some of my collaborators are not working. And worked on some regression models for trying to predict some of these parameters. So, kind of a brief fiber quality summary. For what's been published about these cultivars and these different breeder genotypes, the data we've seen are consistent with what was seen. This is just kind of a review, as we said. The Delta Pine 4910 and that SureGrow 747, which are old commercial cultivars, you know, they're rather coarse fibers. You see that reflected in the Micronair. Excuse me. The FiberMax and the Mississippi Delta, the Mississippi breeder variety, are much lower on Micronair. They're much finer varieties. As I said, the length and strength I discussed earlier, that tended to hold true there as well. Most of these were rather clean varieties after ginning. This is the after ginning data. We see leaf grades between 2 and 3, except the MD15, which had a little more leaf trash. APHIS data, similar things here. The longer varieties, longer, finer varieties do have higher NEPs, and that's the FiberMax 832 and the Mississippi Delta 15. There was a significant year-by-cultivar effect for short fiber. This was particularly noticeable with the MD15 variety. It had rather high short fiber content, especially for a very long fiber, in the first year of the experiment. It was much lower in the second. We're not sure why yet. SureGrow 747 also had significantly better fiber quality properties in the second year, length related, probably just due to different weather conditions. So our processing rate and fiber quality after ginning, and I kind of want to highlight these as we have a very complete data set here. Basically, our high and low rates, that's in kilograms per hour, but it's really slightly less than 1 bale per hour and 0.5 bale per hour. The gin stand in the Stoneville Microgen is a Continental 141, which has a rated capacity, the full-scale one, of around, I think, about 7.5 bales per hour. So we're right around the rated capacity for the 16-inch wide. We're actually a little bit less than it. It's probably 1.25 bales per hour. But the other equipment, the conveying system in that gin just cannot do more than 1 bale per hour. Now, I want to point out past historical data, and most of this, its published dates to the 40s and 50s, showing the effect of ginning rate on fiber quality, particularly length. And we see that here. And, you know, like I said, I don't think anything has been published recently with modern cultivars or even with ginning equipment of this vintage. And we see that difference reflected, you know, even when we're less than the manufacturer's recommended rate. And these are statistically significant, all these differences. You know, that's about a 0.5% difference in short fiber content by width. It wasn't statistically significant in the HVI data, but that's still a difference that I think, as consistent as it is something to be concerned about. And I think it's worth looking into this some more. So as we see with our ginning energy that we measured, measuring it on both a tensaw lab gin and in the Stoneville microgin, which is a more conventional continuous flow process, we see some differences there. There aren't many statistically significant differences with the tensaw gin. Only the FiberMax 832 is a little higher, while we see much greater differences in the microgin energy. So we're clearly seeing something going on there. And when you compare the lint cleaning energy in red to the gin energy with the gray bars behind it, you can see the patterns definitely aren't consistent. Of course, gin energy, I mean, this is expected, is largely influenced by fiber seed attachment force. Some of the other properties are affecting our lint cleaning energy. And we have carding energy measured for just the first year, so this is just 1 year of data. But again, we see some different trends. So our cohesion measurements from the first year, we don't have all the second year's data together and kind of quality checked yet. The static cohesion test, the drafting tenacity from that, it was significantly different. We did see some significant differences there. Now with cohesive tenacity, the dynamic cohesion test, we did not. However, like I said, this is measures the force on a set of drafting rollers, and it's measured with just an LVDT force transducer. So you're measuring that displacement and then normalizing it for the linear density. The coefficient of variation of that displacement measurement did have some significant differences. So there clearly are some differences. And the thinking was that, you know, you're obviously running for a period of time and taking an average measurement. But we thought that the variability might also have some information, but we're still analyzing all that. Not surprisingly, some of these measurements were correlated. They weren't directly correlated with energy measurements, but there's a lot, so I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that yet. Drafting tenacity was somewhat negative correlated with short fiber content, and our coefficient of variation of the displacement on the drafting rollers was positively correlated with a number of parameters and negatively correlated with several others. So, with ginning energy, again, we need to finish our fiber seed attachment force. The testing is completed, but we need to kind of verify some of the calibration on the instrument. And again, with USDA not working right now, we weren't able to get that. We know it's positively correlated with ginning rate. Now, interestingly, there is also a positive correlation with the short fiber content. And this appears to have an effect beyond the differences caused by the ginning rate treatment. Even if you look at the high ginning rate, where they're all at roughly the same rate, or the low rate, there seems to be some relationship. And this kind of shows a relationship between lint cleaning energy and a number of the parameters. Of course, processing rate is significant. Fiber fineness plays a role. And then the one cohesion measurement, which is that coefficient of variation of the drafting roller displacement. Carding energy, again, this is only 1 year, so it's correlated with a number of things, and so we really need that second year. That's all I'm going to say about that, to really get a better idea of some of these relationships. And again, I want to point out, a lot of past ginning work shows that, you know, if the gin damages some fiber, sometimes those differences don't show up by the end of the textile mill. But we saw here, and these are fairly high-quality cultivars. You know, we're looking at short fiber content, leaving the gin at 6 or less, and uniformity index is over 84. But we see this difference of about 0.5%. It's about 0.4% after opening in the textile mill and about the same after carding. So that difference is still there, and it's still significantly statistically different. And again, if you want to try and model this after carding short fiber content, one thing I want to point out is we see the elongation and strength play a role there, and that's probably important and might have something to do with how those measurements are done, in the sense that when you make that HVI bundle measurement of elongation or strength, you're really not taking into account the short fibers. And so that's why we see this relationship. But we need to look into that some more. Again, we're waiting on the rest of that second year's data to be analyzed. So I think what we've seen is that our net energy use, we're definitely seeing some differences throughout the lint cleaner and the textile mill. And we know that, you know, some of the factors affecting ginning energy. Lint cleaning energy, I think the fiber cohesion is going to play a role, along with some of the dimensional properties of the fiber, the fineness. And again, the carding, I think we still need to get some more data in before we can really say much about that. And the big point I think we have with the data now is that, you know, we saw that higher ginning rates did reduce fiber quality. And so, you know, it's really an idea of, you know, what can we do to better predict, you know, which cultivars are going to be susceptible to that, so we can, you know, control for that in the gin. And so again, we're just looking to finish this up. I'm going to let everybody get out of here. Thank Cotton Incorporated, who has funded parts of this work. And that, I'm done.
So. Any questions for him?
I'm around.
Ready for supper.
I know it's a.
How much flexibility do you think a gin has to adapt to these conditions?
Well, you know, gins are not going to slow down. That's just the economic reality of it. You know, we were asking, you know, can they adapt? Now, they certainly probably have the opportunity to speed up. We do see, you know, their control systems with certain cultivars. You know, I've heard anecdotally gin operators say, you know, they were afraid to push it anymore because they were afraid of some of this, of doing damage. And unless you're hitting the capacity on some of your other machines, you know, there probably are some cultivars when they can gin at higher rates. Now, as far as the ones that when it's at that recommended rate, if they're causing some fiber damage, I would say that it's probably a case where it's a need on the research side to kind of look into gin design and, you know, are there some things we can do differently in how our gins are made that we can improve our quality. Yes?
Bobby, have you looked at that difference in the quality? You try to quantify it, but you just flat said gin's not going to work as well. But it depends upon
okay. Yeah. Maybe I oversimplified a little bit, but the problem is that while a 0.5% difference in short fiber content, like we saw here, you know, that's kind of at the threshold where mills may take notice, but in what gets reflected into to the producer, that it's a 1/10 of a difference in uniformity index, which is, you know, they pay in 0.5% increments, and it's you know, really not going to make much of a difference to the bottom line there. It's more there's some fiber quality concerns, you know, globally for the industry where we may want to consider this as an industry, you know, to make sure we're maximizing our quality. But it's hard to see the economic return to an individual producer or gin.
Yeah, maybe I'm not, to the gin or to the grower.
Right, that's either one. Because the gin is going to cost some money, they're going to slow down. The producer's not going to, the HVI data is not going to reflect. And I haven't run numbers on bale value or anything like that. But with that small a difference in uniformity index, I would suspect that there's not much difference in bale value.
I'm not remembering
right. Didn't some of your data show there was a difference in fiber length, too? They were all the AFIS properties, which is the Ooster Advanced Fiber Information System, not the HVI used in the classing office. You know, the AFIS gives a good bit more information on the fiber distribution, and of course some textile mills use that. So that's you know, it's really, as a researcher, it gives better tools, and, you know, the textile mills use it for the same reasons. You get more information about that fiber link distribution.
All right. Thank y'all for coming.